It is great to be back at PCC. It's been a couple years since I've been here. And first, apologies. I did not bring my wife and kids. Actually, you're probably glad because we've got the flu back in our house, so you probably don't want that here. But Lori sends her love. Lori and I honestly often talk about PCC and say if there's one place we could live, it would be right here so we could be with this community of followers of Jesus. We love being part of PCC, even though we don't get here very often because we've been sent out from PCC for ministry. And we're ordained about 15 years ago by PCC. So greetings from Lori. I did bring some pictures of my kids, and I thought I'd update you a little bit because they've grown a bit since we were here last. Actually, some of them have never been here. This is Julia, and she is now almost 9 years old. She wants to be a teacher when she grows up, and so she practices with her little brother, Chip, and tries to teach him how to write properly so he'll be prepared for kindergarten. And as you can imagine, sometimes that doesn't go well. But she's a good teacher. And Chip, he wants to be a pastor when he grows up. And he said last week that he sees kind of two spiritual gifts that he has. One is the gift of encouragement, and the other is the gift of prayer. So I think he'll be a good pastor with those gifts. He really does have those gifts. Eric is our little athlete. He was just about 1 year old, and he would take a baseball bat, and he couldn't reach up to the T-ball, but he could whack the T-ball stick and get that ball to fly. And there's no stopping this little kid, but there's also no stopping him talking right now. He's at that age where there's no filter, and everything he thinks just comes out, and he's a boy, so there's a lot of bodily function talk in our family. And our little baby, Carissa, was born Christmas Day, a year and 3 months ago. And she's got me wrapped around her little finger. She's already got me to promise her the car keys. So she's a delight. They're all delights. And we wish we could all be here today. What is your favorite game show? Is it Celebrity Apprentice? Is it Fear Factor? Growing up, a long time ago, I really loved the game show Let's Make a Deal. You guys like that one? All the goofy costumes. But the best part of Let's Make a Deal was when people got a zonk. They had gotten something and they trade up, and what do they get? They get a llama instead. And so they have to go home with a llama. And then the end of the show is the big deal. The big deal. So the participant who had gotten the best things all along gets to go for the big deal. A fabulous prize, like a sports car, hidden behind what? Door number one, door number two, or door number three. Well, sometimes people mistakenly talk about the gospel kind of like life is just let's make a deal, where heaven is the really big deal at the end, right? Well, everyone wants that deal. So Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door you want to pick. And by picking Jesus, you will get to the really big deal, heaven. This is not how to share the gospel, is it? That's not the full gospel. Jesus is definitely the only way to heaven. He is the door. That is true. But we need to be careful that we don't turn the gospel into just heaven-focused and just an insurance policy kind of thing. The gospel is a glorious gospel, and there's much more to it than just that deal, that big deal at the end. And so today we're going to look a little bit into more of what the glorious gospel really is. And we're going to focus on John chapter 14. Which shows that the gospel is not just about getting into heaven. The gospel is about following Jesus and following him right here and now. So John chapter 14 is the beginning of Jesus' farewell discourse, his final words to his disciples before he's arrested, before he goes to the cross. We're going to see that the gospel isn't just about getting into heaven. It's about much more than that. And one of the things we're going to focus on today about the gospel is that Jesus wants you to be part of the greatest work in history. Let's look at verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I'm absolutely awestruck by this statement, aren't you? Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Believers in Jesus will also do the works that he did, and actually greater works than these. How does that make you feel to hear that? Feel excited? Or are you sweating? I mean, what? What is Jesus saying here? You know, Jesus turned water into wine. Okay, Mary can do that. She would say, oh. Right, Mary? Jesus healed the blind, the lame. He cast demons out of people. Jesus fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fishes. What could Jesus mean here? How is this possible? Well, it does not mean that anything that we do could possibly be better than what Jesus did, right? Of course not. Jesus is not saying, hey, you know, I fed 5,000 people with these, you know, loaves and fishes. You're going to feed 10,000 with just a cracker. You know, that's not what he's saying here. Instead, Jesus is actually explaining a change that would happen only after his death. He is looking ahead in history. He's looking beyond the upcoming death. Up until this time, Jesus had done many great works, but only at the cross would Jesus finish the work. At the cross, Jesus would obediently humble himself to die the most torturous and shameful death imaginable. And then 3 days later, he would rise from the dead, showing the world and the principalities and powers that he had conquered sin and death. This is the difference. Now we are living after the cross. Jesus has taken the sins of the whole world upon himself and has made a way possible for peoples from all nations to come to Christ. Now and only now can we help humans fully understand how to have peace with God. Right? Now, because of the cross. Now, through our words, through our actions, we can point people back to the cross. And so because of this, works that are done after the cross can have a greater effect because they point back to Jesus and his death and resurrection. And because now they lead people to reconciliation with God. Think about it. This is the greatest work of all, reconciling people to their God. And Jesus has reserved part of this greatest work for us. Does that get you excited? Yeah. When you and I, through our words and through our actions, testify to those around us how to have peace with God, we are part of the greatest work in history. Because we live after the cross, we can be involved in this. Now, there's a second important truth to see in this passage. This greater work that Jesus talks about is for all of us. It is an all-hands-on-deck job. You might easily think that helping people come to Jesus is Steve's job. Or it's the job of people like me who are missionaries. But that's really not what this is saying. It's easy to think, hey, my job is just programming computers. I don't even deal with people all day. Or my job is to sell sunglasses at Bergstrom. Whatever it is, I'd say that's not your main job. That is your occupation, but it is not your vocation or your calling from God. We all have a vocation from God to do the works that Jesus did. Look again at verse 12. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Another way of saying that is just everyone who has faith in Jesus will do the works that Jesus did. We have all been given this wonderful opportunity to be ambassadors for Christ. It's not just the task of pastors and missionaries. It's an all-hands-on-deck job. And it's like snow shoveling. Now, that's a strange thing for me to talk about here in Texas, isn't it? So bear with me. I live in Chicago. But, you know, Texas, I admit it, Texas has Chicago beat in all categories, except for two. First, we make the best pizza. So if you want real pizza, come up and visit me in Chicago. And second, we got a lot of snow, and snow's great. Cold's not that great, but snow is great. So when it snows in Chicago, and this year we didn't get much snow, but last year on like Groundhog's Day, we had like 25 inches or so. So when something like that happens, it's an all-hands-on-deck time at the Nordstrom household. And the kids love snow shoveling. We just wait until they're awake, and then we go outside. And, okay, when there's 25 inches, it takes a while, but the normal snow, you know, quickly it's done. And we all have a good time. They love it. And then they're like, well, can we go and can we do the neighbor's driveway too? So God's mission is an all-hands-on-deck thing. All of us are given this opportunity to be part of a work that is so much greater than snow shoveling. We are given the job to bring glory to the Father through Jesus, through our words, and through our actions. Who wouldn't want to glorify God by helping others find Jesus? Who wouldn't want to be involved in bringing the gospel to billions of people around the world who still don't know the meaning of the cross? Amazingly, more and more Christians here in America are ignoring the needs of the world. Few hands are on deck. And one problem is that it is costly to engage the needs of the world. It is easier to sit back and let someone else do the work. It's an all-hands-on-deck job. Another problem is that many people just misunderstand the task. It is easy to think that you have to be gifted like one of the great preachers of the past. You know, you have to be a Billy Sunday or a Billy Graham or Bill Hybels, or at the very least, you know, you have to have the name Bill, right? It's easy to think that, you know, we're not gifted in the way, and, you know, yeah, we're not gifted in the way they are. But God has gifted you to do his work. Jesus doesn't say that you have to be like one of those famous Christians. in order to make an impact. He says, follow me. Some are called to go and preach the gospel to thousands, but others are called to send those who are going. Lori and I are engaged in a very different mission than the one we started out on. For years, we lived in a place where we were the only Christians. So day in and day out, we were meeting people who really had no idea who Jesus was. And it was exciting. And I loved that work of sharing the gospel directly with people day in and day out. Today, we live in a city that has more churches per capita than any other city in America. But you know what? I love what God has given us to do here. Because what we have found, and it's sad, is that most hands are not on deck for missions. So our job is to get the church mobilized, engaged in God's mission, and to equip people to actually engage missionally. We're no longer living out in the tropics in an area without a church, but instead we help the church to stay committed to the greatest work in history. And we equip people for that. Now my question is, what about you? What are the ways God has equipped you to be involved in his mission to bring the gospel to all nations of the earth? Are you stepping out in faith to share Christ with those in your neighborhood, in your school, in your workplace? Are you giving to the work of bringing the gospel to peoples who don't yet know Jesus? Are you encouraging others to be involved in missions? Maybe you're like my 5-year-old son, Chip. And maybe your gift is prayer. That's awesome. Are you strategically taking that gift and focusing it on the needs of the community, the church, and the world? Are you leading a group? Are you encouraging others to pray? I hope so. I hope we have some great prayer warriors here. It's all of our task, isn't it? But I hope we have some really great prayer warriors here, because prayer is the most important part of missions. Look again at verses 12 through 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, we don't have a lot of time to go into all the depths of that passage, but it does help us to see how it's possible that we will do greater things than what Jesus did in his earthly ministry. The only way this is possible is if we let Jesus do the work through us. The preeminent way to do that is through prayer. We can't ever do greater things than Jesus, but Jesus will do greater things through us, through all of us, through the body of Christ, as we turn to him in prayer. What Jesus is telling us here is that our most important job is to pray and then let him do the work. I honestly tend to do things backwards. You know, do the work and then pray for God to bless that work. Prayer is the work. Jesus says if we ask him anything in his name, he will do it. People of God, the work of bringing the gospel to all peoples on earth is not yet complete. In East Asia, where my organization is focused, there are 2 billion people who do not know Jesus. Are you doing everything you can to make sure they hear? I'm going to watch a video that's focused on one part of East Asia, one part of the world where the church is really very, very tiny. It's a part of Japan that a year ago, almost exactly to the day, a year ago, the tsunami and earthquake hit that area of Japan. And as you watch this video, see how the church is responding and just dwell on what it means to be Christ's hands and feet. This is the greater work we've been called to. We've been called to mend broken hearts. We've been called to be Jesus' hands and Jesus' feet, Jesus' arms around those who are hurting. Those who are hurting right here, those who are hurting in our community, those who are hurting far off, and to send Jesus' hands and feet to those places where there are no Christians, of which there are still many, many places like that community you saw in the pictures there. Being a Christian is not simply choosing heaven behind door number one, is it? We decide to follow Jesus, to identify with the Lord who humbled himself, who obediently chose death on the cross in order to exalt God. And he gives us all a part of this greatest work. This is for all of us. No kingdom work is more important than prayer. All of us need to be focused on prayer. All of us have a part to play in this greatest work. If you are unsure as to what God wants you to do as part of his greatest work, then come talk to me or to Steve or to the elders or the missions team, and we all would love to just walk alongside you as you discover what God is equipping you for in his greatest work. Thank you.